Welcome to the Adventure Options Podcast. You want adventures and you have options. This episode's interview is with Nigel Malone, one of the co-founders of the Adventure Junkie app. That's junkie with a Y, not an IE. Stick around to hear my brilliant plan for his business and hear me get way too excited about it. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Adventure Writers, copywriting for the travel industry. There are 4.6 billion web pages out there. How will yours stand out? Visit adventurewriters.agency for help. That's adventure, WRITERS.agency. Now for the show.
Nigel, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to talk to you today. I'm not going to lie. I woke up in the middle of the night last night thinking about the Adventure Junkie app, and I have a brilliant plan for you that I came up with at 3 a.m. that I'm going to divulge to you when we talk about it. But just get really excited about the plan I have for your business.
That's good. I woke up in the middle of the night too, so we've got something in common thinking about what my next plan was going to be.
Well, I have it for you, but why don't we start by just giving us an introduction to you, how you got into the adventure travel industry, what you've done within it, stuff like that.
Yeah. So I go back a bit. My, I guess, professional career is really been in marketing and communications and working on strategy for brands and just really looking at how to position them really well in the market. But a lot of that time has been spent in travel and tourism, and also working on some of the very early climate change and global warming campaigns back in the early 90s. So I developed a real, I guess, knowledge and interest in sustainability, probably broader than most people. And that's kind of dominated my career and passion and thinking for the last 10 years at least. But also I've been a bit of an adventure junkie. I'm a sea kayak guide. I'm an avid climber. So all those things kind of came together, I guess, with Adventure Junkie.
Did you grow up doing adventurous things like that with your family of origin? Or how did you come into loving stuff like that?
Look, my family traveled a lot when I was very young. And we had it was five of us in the family, and they hired an old station wagon, and there wasn't enough room in the front. So I used to sit in the back and just watch the world go by. And I think that really, grew a love of road tripping and just traveling and that kind of space that you get into when you travel.
Did you grow up in Australia?
I grew up in Australia, but yeah, my folks, they traveled through Europe when they were younger and the US, and yeah, they were big travelers in that regard.
Okay. So tell me about Adventure Junkie, how it got started, what the motivation of it was.
Yeah, well, it started in, startups, I guess, in a back room with a whiteboard and a bunch of ideas. But it's an idea that was formed by both myself and my business partner, Fuchsia Claire Sims, who's also a big adventure junkie. And we've both been in the travel and tourism and adventure markets. We started a little consultancy, and over one Christmas, it gets pretty quiet in Australia. Everyone likes to go surfing and go on holidays. So we decided to do a bit of research into the future of tourism. And we looked at a whole bunch of things. We looked at the growth in tourism, 5% every year. And now you're seeing it. Every second article is about over tourism, and that growth is going to continue. But we also looked at the change in demographics from baby boomers, which have been a very much a staple of the tourism industry for quite some time, and how that was shifting towards the millennials, who are now the biggest demographic on the planet. They're the highest earning demographic on the planet. And it was those guys that we realized were really going to shape the future of travel the next 20 or 30 years. It was their decisions, their purchasing, that was going to really define how tourism evolved. And then, of course, there was the whole, growth in mobile and all that new stuff that came through. And I guess to cut a long story short, we kind of put it together in that we really wanted to leave a legacy through our business that would drive more sustainable travel. So shift consumers away from the mass, which isn't doing great things for our environment, our communities, or our experience, when you think about it, towards more sustainable travel. So lower impact, more authentic, more engaging and giving to the communities and the people and the places that we visit. And that's very admirable, and like all sustainable initiatives, it's a good idea, but it doesn't necessarily mean that translates into consumer demand. So we knew that we wanted to add that element to it. We wanted to find a way to make sustainable travel fun and entertaining and exciting and interesting and engaging. So part of our research also involved engagement strategies, how to keep people, you know, with these super short attention spans we have these days, to you know, to stick on an idea. And so we looked at gamification. We looked at things like Fitbit and Strava and Duolingo and all these different tools that had become, in the digital world, that had become very good at keeping people, you know, capturing and holding their attention. So, yeah, we came up with this idea to gamify travel.
And they also give them a community to wrap around themselves when they are making these goals like Fitbit and Strava. You can connect with your friends and share your goals with them. So yeah, that's definitely a trend to be able to bring community all around the world right to your fingertips.
That's right. And back in my day, when we were thinking about adventure travel, it was always...
Back in my day, you make yourself sound old. You are not that old. I am looking at you. You're not that old.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you for that. Well, back when I was more adventurous, let's just say, you know, it used to be about, you know, climbing the mountain and doing it solo and hanging off the edge of a, you know, a cliff, you know, sleeping overnight in, you know, some remote location. That was the idea of adventure. But adventure now is much more about a social gathering, you know, as you alluded to there. And, you know, it's less about the kind of extremity of adventure. It's more about that, yes, getting out there, but getting out there with your friends and also making sure that you're connecting with them, the ones that aren't there, online as well. So it's interesting the way that adventure's, you know, is changing and evolving with this new millennial, if you like.
Yeah. And what year was this when you were starting talking? And
yeah, this was about 4 years ago we started to just formulate it all, but you know, we were trying to have a day job as well, and so it took about a year or two to really evolve into a business that we were working on full-time.
And how did you meet Fuchsia?
I guess in agency world, I was doing a lot of freelance strategy for different brands, and Fuchsia was also working in agency land. She was working in more what they call experiential advertising, so live events and engaging with people face-to-face rather than just, you know, through an ad and so forth. So, yeah, she actually employed me to work on, I think, a strategy for a university. And yeah, so we just struck up a bit of a chord, if you like, and had a lot of common interests and climbed together a bit. And then, yeah, we just, you know, the inner junkie came out of us and it went from there.
So how do you think the company has been affected by having two co-founders versus just a single person founding it?
Yeah, look, well, I think it's survived and I think it's thrived. A startup is a, you know, anyone who's done one or anyone wants to try one, it is a tough job, and it, you know, you get challenged on every level, and there's plenty of information out there about this, but it is grueling. And a co-founder, when you're aligned and when you are aware of each other, and you've got a common goal that's bigger than just making money or selling stuff, it can be really powerful. And I would hate to think how, you know, I could have coped in all sorts of levels without having a partner. I love being in business with a partner. I think it's a great thing.
I think it goes back to the connectedness that we were talking about earlier, that it's easy, or I shouldn't say it's easy, it's not easy. It's easier when you do have someone to celebrate with and cry with and also exactly. Bounce ideas off of before you go to an investor or before you go somewhere that can maybe help with those ideas. So
yeah, and you learn from each other and you know, we're very different people. She's definitely a millennial. I'm a baby boomer, but I like to call myself a millennial, which is a baby boomer with a millennial mindset. But you know, you do learn a lot from each other aside from the business, you learn a lot about life from each other.
So going back to what you said just a minute ago about wanting to leave some kind of mark out there or leave something for the next generations, I noticed on your website that your company is a B corporation. Do you want to go ahead and explain what a B corporation is?
Yeah, B corporation, they're not known all around the world, but they are I guess they're an independent body, and forgive me for not knowing the exact names of the individual who's set it up, but I think there are actually a couple of tech people in the US, but forgive me if I'm wrong. But essentially, they
we'll take credit. The US will take credit for anything great.
Yeah. No. Well, I guess they arrived at the conclusion that a lot of people in business do, that they'd like to use business as a force for good, and that businesses. Yes, you know, they obviously have to survive in society and so forth, but it's not just about the money. And so what they did is they developed a program or a system or an accreditation program that looks at every aspect of your business, from the way you engage staff to your environmental initiatives to how you engage with community, to your policies, really comprehensive system. And if you go through this process and you're able to verify the steps that you are taking in all these regards, and you manage to meet a benchmark, which is 80 points in their scale, well, then you become an accredited B Corp. So it's really quite hard to get. You have to invest a lot of time and a lot of hours into it. And Adventure Junkie's been a B Corp for over a year now. And we're one of the handful of travel companies that are doing it. But recently one of the bigger companies, Intrepid Travel, have just achieved it as well. And you know, they're huge compared to Adventure Junkie. And I congratulate those guys on what the hoops they have jumped through to get that accreditation. But really, I guess it's a collective of businesses that are very tight-knit and, you know, have a real common focus around using business as a force for good for whatever type of business there is.
Yeah. In fact, I actually just interviewed Jeff Manchester, co-founder of Intrepid, the other week.
There you go.
And, yeah, it was very interesting to hear his take on sustainable travel and what they've done. He did not mention B Corporation, so I'm going to have to get on to him and say, "Hey, you could have said you got your B Corporation."
They've only just got it, so he was probably, you know, keeping his fingers crossed and making sure they got across the line before he spoke about it.
Before he said something and then got himself in trouble. That's true.
Yeah.
I've kind of had it explained to me kind of like organic, meaning if you want the stamp on your package that says we're organic, you have to meet certain guidelines and jump through certain hoops to be able to call yourself that. It's kind of the same thing with B Corporation. Guidelines and things, standards that you meet that align with sustainable travel and ecotourism, things like that.
Correct.
So let's get to the fun stuff. Let's talk about the app. And how I am going to get to be number one.
Uh-huh.
I am really low right now. I think I'm number 754 or something like that. So I'm not very high in the rankings yet on the app, but why don't we go ahead and explain, or why don't you go ahead and explain to the listeners what the app is, what it does, kind of your overall explanation of your app.
Yeah, okay. And then we'll talk about how to get you to number one, if that's okay.
I think this podcast should give me a couple thousand points. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. All right. So we call the app the Earth's Sustainable Travel Game. And the way we describe that is that if you imagine all the really great adventures that you've done in the past, all the ones that that you want to do in the future, and a lot that you don't know about, imagine if they're all part of a global game. And for each one of those great adventures that you complete, you earn points and you move up a leaderboard, and you can play against your friends just for bragging rights if you like, or you could compete in your case to be number one in the world. So that's the really, you know, short pitch if you like, but there's a lot more that kind of flows out of that.
Yeah. In fact, so there's badges, you can earn badges. I kind of felt like it was like my chance to be in Boy Scouts, since I never got to be in Boy Scouts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get to earn my badges for doing certain things. One thing, so I'm a very competitive person. My family is very competitive. In fact, a couple nights ago, we were playing a board game, and let's just say it ended with pieces all over the floor, and everyone was sent to bed because a nameless somebody was not very happy that they were not winning. But it feeds into the competitive nature of people, in that you get to see kind of the adventures and how many points you could get for doing certain ones. But it's also, I noticed on some of the badges, they're not just about the adventure. Like, some of the badges are about being socially responsible or participating in a cultural event, or name off some of the other badges for our listeners.
Yeah. So there's the way, to unpack it a little bit, we have a few different ways in which the game side of it works. And the first side is really around the points, which you said. So for each adventure, there's points. And the way we calculate those points is that we look at a whole bunch of different factors about each adventure. And that goes down to the types of activities, you know, whether it's just, you know, something quite soft like a history or a walking tour, right through to if it's base jumping and everything in between. So we have like a comfort zone component to the scoring, but then, as you said, we also look at the sustainability factors of it. So we look at whether it's carbon neutral, or it's community owned, or it's plastic free, all these types of things that we believe make up sustainable travel. So part of what we're doing is trying to educate consumers as well, or inform them so they can make better choices around that. So that's how we come up with the score. So the more sustainable and the more adventurous, the higher the score it's going to be. So we incentivize. The other side is what you're talking about, which is the patches as well, which is, you know, it doesn't have to always be about winning.
Yes, it does, Nigel.
But for others that want to have their achievement acknowledged, we have patches.
Are these physical patches or are these virtual patches?
They're both. So we have ones on the app that, as you achieve certain adventures, the patches that are associated with those you earn on your online profile. But we've also got a shop, and you can buy these patches as well. So, and they are exactly as you say. They're much more like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Guides, where you have your patches for whether it's tying knots or fishing or whatever it might be. So we have patches like anti-gravity, which is, you know, for when you're scaling large heights, or Nemo if you're doing lots of stuff around water, or Buddha if you're going to retreats, all sorts of fun ideas. So they're more themes, I guess, if you like. And
right.
And so you can collect patches too, you know.
I love that. I think I sent you a LinkedIn message that I need to have the height. What was the heights one called?
Anti-gravity.
Anti-gravity. I need to have a handicap, kind of like you have in golf, for the anti-gravity, because I'm terrified of heights. And so I feel like I need more points for doing it.
So with the points, that's the interesting thing, right? So yes, you earn points for when you complete something that's on the app, and that's one side of it. But you can also earn points by adding your adventures, so you don't have to start from zero. So,
right.
And you can also, if there's something on the app that you've already done and you can prove it, you can claim those points. So what we find is a lot of people, when they first come on the app, they go to the map and they start hunting around to all the places that they've been, and they find the adventures that they've done, and then upload, you know, photos from 1972 or you know, last week, and they can claim their points. So, yeah, you don't have to start from zero. You can actually, you know, get moving pretty fast up that leaderboard if you try.
I just did. I actually submitted one of my adventures, and it's in review.
Oh, good. Well, I'll keep an eye on that. That's
I was going to say, now that I have an in with the co-founder, I'm assuming that my adventure will be worth many points.
Well, look, it'll definitely be tagged VIP. I can guarantee you
there,
that.
There we go. Along with that, since I'm just full of great business ideas for you.
Yes, your plan.
Yes, I need the podcaster's badge. Don't you think a travel podcast should be a really good badge?
That is a good badge. I'm just noting that down now. But we also have a contributor badge as well, which I think you'd also be a good one for.
See, I'm already this conversation, I feel like I've moved into the top 500 at least.
I can see bonus points coming your way.
No, but the thing that actually kept me up, okay, so be prepared. I have a business plan for you.
Great.
I find that not many adventurers watch much TV, but mm-hmm. I do. And there's a show. Have you ever watched The Amazing Race?
Yes.
Okay. You need to partner with The Amazing Race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And every activity they do or adventure they do should be available on your app, like show up on your app, and they should get their little badges for doing it. And they, you know how they have their sponsors on the race. And so they'll stop and say, we're going to check in with, you know, Travelocity on our phone to see where, you know, and they name their sponsor. I'm thinking, okay, so hear me out. Have you ever heard of the 6 degrees of separation?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
There has got to be one of our podcast listeners, calling all podcast listeners. One of you has got to know Phil. He's like the main host of The Amazing Race. One of you knows someone who knows Phil. And you need to contact Phil and say, Phil, have we got an idea for you? Because I think it would be so fun to see the Amazing Race people doing the Adventure Junkie app. And then also, for those of us who are avid fans of The Amazing Race, we can go on there and see, you know, how available that certain activity that those people did would be for, you know, the average person. So I'm just throwing it out there, Nigel. I think we've got a winning plan here.
Funny you say that. Funny you mentioned that, actually.
Do you know Phil?
No, but I've tried to reach out to Phil in the past. But look, you are spot on in terms of our grander plan. You've actually, you know, revealed it before I had a chance to reveal it. No, seriously.
Did I blow the cover?
No.
You already have an agreement with The Amazing Race and I just ruined it?
No, look, The Amazing Race is I guess one of the, you know, those types of formats that's very much in our field of vision, I guess, if you like. You know, there's all those types of other ones when you start thinking about that, isn't there? There's the Survivor and the Wilds and all those types of things. So we've been thinking about a format idea for quite some time, because I haven't really talked about it, but a lot of our content is user-generated. Probably 75% of the adventures that come on the app are actually submitted by our users, people like
right.
you. And they're moderated, so not everything makes the cut, if you like. We have some simple criteria around that. But we have a wealth of incredible adventures and incredible adventurers. And some of them are just, you know, weekend warriors, the average kind of guys. But earlier on you mentioned, you know, about people pushing the limits to you know, get those points. And like, there's a recent example of a gentleman from Belgium who's a mad cyclist, and so he would cycled the length of the Americas, and
wow,
you know, that got him I can't remember, 30,000 points, something, you know, huge. And the end of last year, we were running a competition, whoever's going to be number one by the end of the year, there was a cash prize, and there was also, you know, who had the best adventure for the month and so forth. And so he was in Ecuador, and there's a mountain bike trail in Ecuador, and it's called Timber, the Trans Ecuadorian mountain bike ride. And apparently it's like the hell of mountain bike trips. It's, you know, it's just horrific what you have to go through.
It sounds lovely.
Right? And it normally takes people like 40 days to do. Yeah. And we had a cutoff day of the last day of the year, and that was like, you know, and he did it in like 32 days.
Wow.
To make the cutoff point so that he could claim that adventure in the calendar year and score his points. So this is how crazy people get. And you know, there's stories like that which we think would feed really well into a television format, exactly as you're talking about. So
Yes. You want to start your own show.
Yes.
Nigel.
Yes. So call out again, not just to Phil, to all those great producers out there.
At CBS, NBC, ABC, mm-hmm. Who else can we call out? Fox, Discovery,
CNN.
Somebody knows somebody.
Everyone. Yeah, exactly. And you imagine that all linked to the digital side. You know, it's a pretty exciting thing. So that's very much on our radar in the next 18 months as well.
I like this collaboration, Nigel. In fact, when you land one of these deals, I'm going to go ahead and send you my finder's fee.
Executive producer.
there we go. I'm going to start packing my bags. This is going to happen.
You can have your own trailer, your own Airstream trailer.
Yes. Dream come true. And then maybe I can meet that adventure junkie that just did that bike ride.
I believe
you that it was a bike ride from hell, because I actually lived in Ecuador for 6 months. On the border of Peru, up in the mountains, not on the coast. And there's some extreme, stuff. I don't even know what to call it, stuff.
There is. It's a cool
but
place.
It's beautiful. At least it was beautiful. That's awesome. So, and also, I did make myself a note. When you land this big meeting with Phil and the Amazing Race team, you need to send Fuchsia.
Yeah, I'm not definitely.
I think you're doing a fabulous job, but she has the best facial expressions. When you watch your like founders video, I don't know what you call it, the meet the team video on your website, she has some really great facial expressions, and I think she could get some people to come
over
to your side.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm hearing you. I know. I'm not that good looking. It's okay.
Oh, that's not what I meant. I just think she has some great facial expressions. But
she's a character.
So which one, let's talk about you for a second. Which one of the badges is your favorite, and which one of the experiences in there has been your favorite?
Wow. Considering I look at every one of them, okay, so maybe I could start with experience. And this is one that I want to do. I haven't done, but one of our partners, so we also have partners, and we go out and we look for tour operators that are really doing incredible things, and we bring their adventures onto the app as well. And one of them is a company called North Sailing, and they are right on the top of Iceland, which is, as you probably can imagine, is pretty out there. Iceland in itself is an incredible place, but they're right in the north.
Right.
And they've basically been in the business of whale watching since it first began about 30 years ago. But they do it with these beautiful old timber sailing boats. And
like pirate ships?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they look like pirates too, you know. They've got the full-blown beards and the, you know, crazy eyes. But so they go. But what they've done is they've turned these sailing ships into hybrid electric ships as well. So not only can they just sail out into these incredible waters and see all this marine life, but they've taken all the diesel engines out and they've put electric motors in so that when they're not sailing, they can just glide through the water with zero sound. Right.
Nice. So that they don't scare away the...
So they don't scare away the whales. So, okay, picture this. You're on one of these beautiful sailing ships and it's gliding through the night, northern lights above you flickering, and you're sitting in a hot tub on the deck and they drop a hydrophone into the water and you listen to the sounds of the whales talking to each other.
I feel like I need to throw in some, what do you call that? Noises in here, the winds and the... I'm not that advanced on this podcast. So everyone imagine some wind blowing in the distance.
We can do it in post. That's okay.
Right. That's
pretty cool. Yeah. So maybe Nemo is a good patch. You know, that's our water patch. But we've got a whole bunch there that fit into that one there. But there's some great stuff on there. There really is some quite unique adventures that even the most kind of seasoned traveler will go, wow.
Well, and what I liked about it is, the most seasoned adventurer junkie is going to come up with some good ideas, but also the newbies are going to like it too. They're going to see things that look plausible and doable and not like, you know, you don't have to be the next Evel Knievel to be able to do these adventures. And so I really like that. In fact, one comparison that I drew when I was looking through the app, and I hope this isn't offensive because I love this other app, it reminds me a lot of AllTrails, the AllTrails app, where you can get on, you can either look at the map and see where people have hiked, or you can read people's experiences, they can upload their photos, things like that. So it gives you a good sense of what it's going to look like, what it's going to feel like, how to get there, you know, conditions in the area, stuff like that. So it kind of felt like the AllTrails app to me for adventure, in that you can, it's, you know, using a social platform to help people find places that maybe they wouldn't have found out on their own. So I think that's
They're great AllTrails. We often reference them because a lot of times we'll get people that say, okay, you know, this hike to this summit is a great afternoon's walk. And they send in some great photos and it looks really cool. So we'll add it. But, you know, we'll often refer to people like AllTrails, you know, to say, hey, look, if you really want to find out all the beta on this stuff, go here. So, yeah, I mean, we're definitely not a closed circuit, if you like, very open in terms of kind of whoever's got really good content, good information, we're really keen to share it.
That's awesome. So to kind of wrap things up, I always like to end our podcasts with what your piece of advice would be to today's traveler. But I'm going to go ahead and mix that up a little bit and ask you what your piece of advice would be to someone who is just starting out in the adventure junkie like realm of things and trying to decide if they're adventurous enough to get into stuff like this. What would you tell that person?
Well, yeah, with a name like ours, some people think that we're kind of just about adrenaline stuff. But really, adventure is, it's actually just stepping out of your own comfort zone. And that may be a huge, massive circle that reaches all the way to Everest, or it might just be, hey, I'm going to go for a walk through, the outback, or I'm going to hop in a kayak for the first time. Because, and there's countless proverbs about this, but you know, that's where life begins, just outside your comfort zone. So that's all you need to do, really, because when you get there, you find that adventure is really, it's quite a powerful force in terms of what it can do for us. It can, it can inspire us, it can educate us, it can connect us with other people, and it can just release all these fantastic chemicals in our body that make us feel happy and alive as well. So yeah, just take that first little step out of the comfort zone. That's all I'd say.
Perfect. Well, Nigel, it's been very fun getting to know you and talking about your company and your app. And I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Everyone go out and get the app. It's free. Download the app, and we will talk to you later.
Hey, Shayna here. Nigel is an upstanding guy, am I right? I love his definition of millennial, a baby boomer with a millennial mindset. Let's help Nigel and Fuchsia leave the legacy they want, and I want, and get them on the amazing race. Remember to visit adventurewriters.agency and join my mailing list to get updates when a new podcast episode airs. Until next time, sayonara.